Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EP. And if you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're joined by Mr. John Futterneck, a veteran executive coach and leadership development trainer. He specializes in helping organizations and their leaders excel in complex, highly integrated matrix structures. His new book is Leading in the Global Matrix, Proven Skills and Strategies to Succeed in a Collaborative World. And Mr. Futterneck, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
It's my pleasure, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure as well, and thanks for your time. So for starters and to kick things off, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. And Eric, I don't want to bore your listeners with my life story. So in a nutshell, for the last 22 years, I've been dividing my time working primarily as a one-on-one executive coach, as you mentioned. So that entails, you know, working with leaders and executives across industries and actually across the globe. One-on-one, and I've got about 500 or so of those assignments under my belt, but I've also taught a lot of leadership programs, probably about a thousand or so, again, on topics like the one that the book is about. So those are the kind of the two things that I do, and in my spare time, I like to write, but that about tells the story.
And thanks for hitting on some of those highlights. Much appreciated. Now, in reference to the book, what led you and Marty Seligman to write Leading in the Global Matrix book?
Sure. So, Eric, what's been happening in global business, and you know, be happy to really connect this also to entrepreneurs and small businesses in a moment. But certainly, what you've seen over the last decade, when you're looking at the the larger global organizations, is this recognition that the old model, the more top-down sort of siloed, decentralized model of we have our functions and businesses that sort of operate independently and they do their thing and eventually sort of come together and send the checks. It was starting to become outdated, and there was a loss against competition that was operating in a more agile, more integrated, more collaborative way. That these principles around, driving efficiencies and driving synergies and ensuring that best practices are being shared and that you've got aligned execution when you're facing with the customer just became increasingly clear that that competitive advantage was essential. And so in order to achieve those objectives, organizations increasingly started to move in this direction. And you have a lot of different flavors of it. Some of them were what I would call kind of very formal matrix structures, where you have these centers of excellence, which are generally the functions that work in a very specific way with the businesses. And then you have some that I call more the informal matrix type of structures, where even if it wasn't as formalized, there was an ask across the org, hey, let's work together, where we're collaborating in a much earlier stage of product development, of initiatives, et cetera, versus where it was in the past.
Hey, good stuff there. And your book seems to focus on large organizations. How would you connect the concept to apply to small or medium-sized businesses and entrepreneurs?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Eric, one of the ironies, if you will, for your audience is that in many ways what these large organizations were trying to achieve, if you will, and in some elements replicate, are the advantages that smaller organizations and smaller businesses have. So it's everything from, one of the popular terms these days is the entrepreneurial mindset, right? The kind of own it mindset where, every employee at these large organizations comes to work thinking, my name's on the building and I'm invested. That ability to be agile and innovate and make decisions, more quickly and collaborate. So the connection that I'd make, Eric, is that the skills, I would say, are essentially similar. Now, obviously, if you're working for a 100-person company, that's different than a 100,000-employee company as far as the level of politics you need to navigate and complexity and power dynamics. But certainly, the core skills that the book is really about is how do I, as a leader, entrepreneur, small business leader, become the best leader of teams and the best facilitator of collaboration that I can. So, what does that mean? So things like having the self-awareness to know how do I build and engender trust, whether my team is, of five or 100. How do I communicate my message in a way that inspires, that motivates people, but still is collaborative and feels inclusive? My presence, asking the right questions, driving inclusion. So the skills apply, I would say, in both settings. And I would also add that my experience in working with entrepreneurs and smaller organizations is that it's going to be pretty standard that you get incredibly talented, incredibly hardworking, often gifted, sort of innovative, creative folks. But sometimes where they've had a little less training or they focused a little bit less is on these leadership skills. And so my hope would be for your audience that as they read the book, they're going to find very practical, very specific tips that they can apply regardless of the size of their business.
Certainly sounds like a great resource to tap into today. We are joined by Mr. John Futterneck, a veteran executive coach and leadership development trainer and co-author of Leading in the Global Matrix, Proven Skills and Strategies to Succeed in a Collaborative World, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, with everything happening today with the COVID-19 crisis, as an executive coach, as you are working with leaders across the business spectrum, what advice would you provide to help folks out during this time of crisis?
Yeah, boy, Eric, obviously for really good reason. That's the focus of the day, as it should be. And I'll tell you that the main place that I've been focusing, and as you can imagine, I've been on a lot of phone calls and, in fact, been doing a number of webinars on leading in crisis, is to begin with appreciating and just remembering that as a leader, you're still flesh and blood. And with this crisis, and it really is unprecedented, that you have almost a unique variable of stress coming at us, right? It's not just a financial crisis, which that alone is an extraordinary spike in difficulty and stress. You've got the health components, family, loved ones. So we're continuously bombarded with concerns, you know, about our health, folks we love, so forth. Obviously, I mean, the job uncertainty is, you know, we got the numbers today, 6.6 unemployment. It's at a completely different level. The disruption that almost everyone's experiencing, you know, usually working from home. So you really are in this environment that if you're not careful, regardless of how much grit, if you will, you have, regardless of how much you just want to lead and attend to others and not take care of yourself, that in a very real way, our nervous system eventually is going to pivot our behavior in a way that gets in our way, meaning it's, you know, going to start behaving in the fight or flight kind of part of us that's designed for crisis in moments, but not over periods of weeks. So decision-making gets impacted, creativity gets impacted, communication can dramatically get impacted, and that's all, you know, not at all good from a leadership perspective, but it's also not at all good for our immune system and our health. So one of the main things, Eric, that I've been stressing with the leaders that I work with is that we've got to have some kind of a plan throughout our day to make sure that we are managing the stress and releasing it as the day unfolds, that we're doing things to boost our emotions and our optimism, that we're taking care of our physical bodies, because if we don't do those things, we're really potentially going to, you know, become at risk. And, you know, what I do always try to emphasize is the good news is by taking care of your mental states, by managing your stress and your body, you're also doing those things that are good for your health, so that when you are interacting with your family and loved ones, you're showing up as a better version of yourself. And so the three areas, Eric, real quickly, movements. And even if that's just taking phone calls and walking, you know, in your home, getting a little bit of fresh air, you don't have to jump on a Peloton for an hour. If you can do that, that's great, but it's not necessary. But just ensuring that we don't get too comfortable in our home office, one meeting bleeds into another, hours go on, and we've never had a chance to move and stretch our bodies, which releases a lot of important neurotransmitters into our brain. I won't bore you with the neuroscience, but that will help us manage and release stress, that will help us boost our optimism, create feelings of safety, give us a sense of self-confidence. So it's really important. Another really cheap and simple practice that takes seconds is gratitude. And, you know, that's one we've probably been hearing about for a while. But in particular, during a time where it's completely understandable, where almost everything we're focused on is what's wrong and could go wrong. And not that that makes you a bad person, but it just doesn't put your psychological state, your emotional state in the right place if that's all you're doing. So just deliberately spending time focusing on things that you appreciate can go a long way to helping you out. And then another one that's become more and more common, Eric, is just doing some slow, controlled breathing. There's a lot of very simple exercises, a lot of apps, but the research is just profound in terms of how much it'll help you release stress, clear your minds, be present, allow you to be more empathetic. So just really, really important that leaders are taking care of themselves right now.
Certainly some solid points made right there and some timely information as well, most helpful. Now, along these lines, what would be the most critical parts of your book that could help leaders deal with what they are going through right now?
Yeah, I think that, so there's a couple, you know, that stand out. Obviously, when I was writing the book, I didn't build so much of the what I call the resilience or mental toughness part of it in there. So that's kind of what I just shared there. But I would say, you know, in the book, if you look at the chapter on trust and how important it is, you know, at these particular moments of uncertainty to be practicing all the things that are going to engender and build trust. I'd say every one of the chapters that has to do with communication, you know, when you're leading in crisis, it's a very important balance that leaders need to strike. Because on the one hand, absolutely, teams need decisiveness, they need clarity, they want a voice of authority, right? Because there's such a lack of certainty and clarity. On the other hand, never has a leader needed to probably demonstrate more empathy and take more deliberate time to listen and to reach out and not have every conversation be just about business and what needs to happen next, but to make the space to find out what's it like homeschooling your kids if folks are challenged by that. Is anyone having to attend to a loved one that's dealing with the virus? So there's a number of chapters that both will equip leaders how to be clear and confident without getting into telling or coming across as arrogant. Chapters that talk about excellent listening skills and empathy and listening for not just the facts of what people are saying, but the feelings that are coming through. Not only is it incredibly important, obviously, for your employees, for your colleagues, for your peers, to supporting each other. But if there is, you know, we try to look for silver linings in these kind of horrific times. And what I've seen actually with the number of leaders that I'm working with currently that have done this well is that it has become an opportunity to build teams in an incredibly powerful way, right? There is something about crisis that if we do it can bring us together, develop that sense of support that we're there for each other, you know, when hearing it from everyone from the president all down that we're all in this together. And that, in order to exhibit that, comes down to good communication, good listening, good empathy, and inclusion. And you're going to find that in several chapters in the book.
John, can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today and for the information shared, certainly timely, as I had mentioned before. I'm sure listeners want to be able to get more information in reference to your book, Leading in the Global Matrix, and even pick up the book. Where's the best place online to get further information?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Yeah, one of two places I'd probably suggest. One, just to go to my website at www.optimumassociates.com. And certainly they can find me on LinkedIn as well. I'd love to connect with them that way. I'd say those are probably the two most efficient ways to connect.
Again, Mr. Futterneck, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly enjoyed your time spent with us here today.
No, it's my pleasure, Eric, and all the best to you. Stay healthy, stay safe, and I wish that for your listeners as well.
Hey, thank you, and you too. We've been speaking with Mr. John Futterneck, a veteran executive coach and leadership development trainer. He specializes in helping organizations and their leaders excel in complex, highly integrated matrix structures. His new book is Leading in the Global Matrix, Proven Skills and Strategies to Succeed in a Collaborative World. And for all the details, visit OptimumAssociates.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.